If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings and the divine love of the beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is how to live in divine protection and provision in these times. So let's take a deep breath and allow God's glory to cover you with a mantle of grace. Experience simply asking and receiving the clothing of divine glory. Glory is simply the presence of God. Whenever you hear the word spoken, glory, it pertains to those realms that transcend everything in this world. And we are going to be taught how to be enmantled and overlighted and surrounded and caught up in and supernaturally transported from one place to another through the dimensions of divine glory. This is something that we are now being trained from within through the guidance of the teacher that dwells within you, the Holy Spirit. That is the Spirit of the living God that dwells in you as a living temple. It is not something apart from you. The Spirit of God lives in everyone who has given their lives into the care and keeping of the Lord. It is the way that God not only teaches, but guides and directs our steps in these times. So take a deep breath and welcome the glory of God to enter into your life and to teach you all things. Teach us your way, O Lord. Guide us in your paths. The paths that are opening before us are supernatural dimensional portals. The primary door that we must enter into the glory realms is the door, capital D, of the energy matrix that we call Jesus the Christ in his function as Savior, Redeemer, and the one who bridges eternity to time and time into eternity. He is the grand door through which we enter into this dimension that I'm going to be speaking about tonight. Therefore, we're speaking about accessing a consciousness through a particular matrix that in time space is called Jesus, the Son of Man, who fully became and manifested the Christ, the Son of God, and then tossed the ball to us collectively. that we also can be Son of Man and Son of God. For those who are led of the Spirit are the sons of God. And again, whenever we use the masculine, we are speaking about proactive light. Now we're moving into the age of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is also referred to as the age of the Divine Mother, or the Holy Shekinah, as it's called in Hebrew. This does not imply a woman, but a quality. The true mother is divine, pure, unselfish, agape love, unconditional love. Just as the Father, in highest truth, is highest truth. So when you want to know who your true mother is, it's divine love. And your true Father is truth itself. So this time that we're moving into, the Shekinah universe that is overlapping and eclipsing and eventually will totally consume and subsume the sun universe in which we currently live, we are being taught to move, again, from the mind and the technology of the mind, of the old cycle, into walking and living from the power of the heart in a new technology of light. To move in this dimension, of course, we need to be supernaturally invested and clothed in new bodies. We are in the time of the great catching away, when in a twinkling of light we shall be dimensionally translocated from mortality and time, darkness and death, into eternality, into bodies of light that function in the whole spectrum light functioning without the hindrance of the limiting thought forms that have subscribed us and entrapped us in the time-space continuum, in karma and reincarnation. We're being delivered from grace into a realm in which there is no shadow or turning, no death, no darkness, no pain, no suffering, no evil. Of course, we can't comprehend that here because we live in a realm where duality is always in our face, and most of it very unpleasant and painful. Now, whether the body has died already, is in the what's called sleep of death, or whether it is still operating in the physical realm, it will be translocated into bodies of immortal light. In fact, those who sleep, i.e. seem to be dead, will actually be called first into this catching away. It has also been called the ascension, or the meeting of Christ in the higher consciousness of the unified field, or the rapture. So do not worry if there are those that appear to be dead. Remember, this is a temporary appearance that is totally illusory. And the only relief one can experience when you are faced with a horrific loss of someone you love, which many are today, is the knowing that you have when you are a covenant person of God, that this death will be swallowed up in the victory of immortal life that you have been gifted through covenant, through the work of the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. When you're under covenant, you have complete assurance of eternal life. What is this covenant? Covenant means a contractual agreement that you have. You have a covenant purchased and ratified by the blood of Jesus Christ. That gives you the complete promise that cannot be broken. Blood covenants can never be broken. That you have eternal life that he purchased for you on Calvary. Number two, you have authority and power to operate in the name and on behalf of the person you are in covenant with. That means you have the right to act in the power, name, and authority of Jesus the Christ if you're in covenant with him. Those who are living in divine covenant with the Messiah, in other words, you have married, you have formed a relationship with the Lord exactly like you are married. That's why you're called, those of you of the divine covenant are referred to as the collective bride of Christ, regardless of your gender. So, just as you cannot operate in the power, name, and authority of your spouse unless you have a covenant of marriage with them that is legally recognized, in the same manner, you can't operate in that higher divine power which pertains to the glory realms without that covenant that you come under through salvation and accepting Jesus the Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Now, very, very powerful things happen to you when you do that. Number one, those who are under the divine covenant are redeemed from every single stain of sin. Doesn't matter what the sin is, you're completely washed white as snow, and your name is instantly written in what is called the Lord's Book of Life or the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb refers to the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, which is one of those beautiful phrases describing Jesus in his function as Savior. So you are instantly cleansed and restored to your pre-fallen original kingdom inheritance, with all of the authority, power, and rights due to your position as a prince or princess of the divine kingdom of God. You are made absolutely pure, absolutely righteous, absolutely worthy, and you are able to enter directly into the divine presence in the higher realms and to sit in the direct presence with Jesus the Christ. Even the angels have to stand and are not permitted to sit in the presence of the divine because angels cannot be saved or redeemed. They don't come under the blood covenant. Only those who are born in a physical body are able to enter into this blood covenant relationship. So of all of the creatures and all of creation, we are the most fortunate who are dwelling on earth and seemingly encased in these bodies of flesh. You know, even though it's the densest compression of light into materiality, it contains at the same time the greatest blessing. Moreover, with this covenant, you are assured, instantly assured, that if you died in the next second, you would pass from this life into eternal life with Jesus and God and the highest hierarchs of the absolute divine God realms directly the instant you cross from this life into the next. With this covenant comes assured provision. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed, which means to infer your children, begging bread. Your whole household becomes anointed and covered with the blood of the Savior. And you're like a light that sheds luminosity and brilliance throughout your whole, all of your relatives, your upline, your downline. All of the people in your generations are blessed forward and backward in time. And the promise is that your children will be taught of the Lord, and great will be their peace. And their names will shine with renown. So there are blessings that cover not only you, but your entire household, whether or not it's come to salvation yet. I often call people in that situation that have not yet made that commitment as the pre-saved or the pre-Christian. So with this covenant that you enter into, when you say, yes, enter my life, Lord, be my Lord, be my Savior, all of these other things come. And most important at this time is that we are preparing. I think we're right on the eve of what's been called this great rapture, this great catching away. Wanted to just mention here some examples of how my children have been protected. My stepdaughter and her infant son were in a very, very bad car wreck. And supernaturally, the window popped out without shattering, even though the car went over an embankment and rolled several times. She and her infant son, she said she felt like they were lifted by arms and just carried out, you know, just out the window on the passenger side and put down very gently on their bottoms on the ground. And she complained later to me. She said, "Where were my angels?" And I said, "Darling, they were carrying you and your son outside, out that window and putting your bums very gently on the ground. They didn't even have a scratch. The car was absolutely totaled." I myself, when I was driving my young daughter coming home from work when I was living in Las Vegas many years ago, there was a either drunk or drugged man who came from a side street barreling directly into the side of our car. And supernaturally, my daughter said she felt, this was before the time that we had seatbelts, I felt as if there was like a swoosh, and suddenly we were just like in a different place, and the car was careening behind us, but we were completely translocated from direct impact with that car. My daughter said she felt that there were arms that had wrapped around her because she didn't fly through the window. It was one of those things that happened so fast. And at the same time, I was so aware of the presence of God in that car. Again, my stepdaughter, who was a single mom and had to work to support her son, she was diagnosed with mononucleosis, which usually takes a long time to recover from. It's very debilitating. And we gave her some vibhuti, some of the sacred ash that Sai Baba materializes, and prayed. And she was completely, instantly healed. Took her back to the doctor. There was no sign of the mononucleosis whatsoever, and she was able to continue working. So the doctor said that she needed to, you know, go to bed, rest, not work, all of that. And she couldn't do that. One time my daughter was rendered invisible from an L.A. gang. She had seen something that she shouldn't have seen, and she was on their hit list, and they were out to get her. But when they came and they shot through her door where she was staying and shot into her bed, she said she had been guided to get up for some reason and go out. She couldn't understand why, but she obeyed the Holy Spirit, and she got up. She went out of the place where she was staying. And when they came and gunned through the door and her bedding, she was not there. So these are some examples of how, even though my, you know, my daughter and stepdaughter weren't consciously living for God, they had already come under the covenant, the blessing and protection of the covenant. So you have every right in the world to plead the blood of Jesus and the covenant blessings over your children, because your faith in their coming to full surrender and yieldedness to the Lord is assured through your the prayers. Prayers of the righteous are never ignored, and know that you are the righteousness of Christ. So when you pray for your children, God must honor your prayers because of covenant. So covenant is everything. Get under the covenant and understand your covenant rights. You'll need to do a little scriptural study on that. But you have so many rights as a child of the covenant that it is absolutely amazing. And the reason why people worry and get so bent out of shape and wonder what's going to happen is because they're totally ignorant of the covenant and the power and authority that they have. Very often people will talk to me and they'll say, I cried out to God and I, you know, I called on all the masters and all the angels and everybody I could think of to help me. And I said, well, did you ever think of standing in the authority that you have? You know, it's one thing to cry out, you know, to, you know, everybody and their dog, but it's another thing to stand in the authority that you have as a covenant child of God. How would you do it? Well, for example, this person was suffering from tremendous depression. So here's how you would stand in your authority over depression. In the name, power, and authority, I take authority over this spirit of depression, and I cast it out of my mind in the name of Jesus. In other words, I didn't say it exactly the way I wanted to say it, but you would say, in the authority, power, and name of Jesus Christ, I bind and take authority over the spirit of depression. I bind and take authority over fear. Whatever the negative thing is, you bind it, you take authority over it, you cast it out, and you forbid it from coming back. You bind it, whatever is bound on earth is also bound in heaven, and then whatever is released on earth is also released from heaven. So you could release, for example, into depression, joy, the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. You could release into fear the power of God's, of trusting in God's provision and protection and love. So find something positive and release it into your mind, into your situation, into your life. So you bind the negative, you cast it out, and you release the positive and bring it in so that you have that void, whatever it is, replaced. Now, for example, say you have a negative thing that's happened to you in the past that has left what is called a soul wound, a wound that would be in your feelings or your emotions or something having to do with your, you know, how you feel about yourself in your past. The blood of Jesus, you evoke the blood of Jesus into that pain, into that area, because Jesus took every single one of these unhealed areas of our life when he went to the cross, when he was beaten, when he was disfigured. He took upon him, his own body, all of the effects of the fall, which would be disease and heartache and sexual abuse and all the awful things that happen to us sometimes in this physical world. He suffered all of that so that you could be healed supernaturally through grace. So when you wash those areas, fill them, and erase that pain with the blood of Jesus, then you can call forward the light of his glorious presence to fill that area that has now been cleansed and vacated. You fill it with the glory light of the presence of God. Because wherever God manifests, you have the glory, the light of his glory. You know, it says God is light. And people who've had near-death experiences, they always speak of the presence of Jesus as he comes forward as this brilliant, brilliant outline of a man with just brilliant white light. So this is how you can begin to operate in the authority. You speak it through the authority of the power and the name of Jesus. So you don't have to, of yourself, do anything but claim your covenant rights. You don't have to understand them. You don't have to know how they operate or anything at all. You just simply exercise your God-given rights. So this is how we're going to be doing many things now. We have to understand that we are operating in a dimension now in which we are entering like little children. That's why it takes a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven. We really don't have a clue what it's going to be like to be caught up beyond death and time and limitation into this unified field of Christ consciousness in which our bodies are resurrected into their original immortal state. Know that God, because God is the spirit of life itself, cannot possibly create death. And death is a total fiction. Jesus describes it in the Course in Miracles as the central illusion from which all other illusions spring. And it's the biggest fear that we have, fear of being false evidence appearing real, because everybody seems to be afraid to die. So that spirit of fear that we have in the face of death is proof itself that it's an illusion, that it's false evidence appearing real, because it doesn't bring a sense of love, it brings a sense of fear. So we know that in that fear, that is the runner that's telling us, oh, that's false. Because everything that comes from God is full of life and full of joy. So because we're made in the image and likeness of God, we are designed to be immortal spirits. So that which is destroyed at the end of a cycle is all that has been projected out of the illusion fields. And sometimes people never choose to come into the light at all. They stay in the illusion field. So that whole record then is burned at the end of the age in the all-consuming fire. So that's the chaff. So the only thing that we take with us into eternity are things that have birthed in truth, which would be things that are birthed in love, things that are operating out of the divinity that we are. So these are very important keys. You are a covenant child of God when you have invited Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. And he commanded, he didn't give a suggestion, he said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he breathed upon his disciples. So that holy breath of God that breathes life into you is the whole spirit. But until you have come to salvation, it's kind of lying dormant. You know, the lights haven't been turned on. That switch hasn't been activated. So the atonement or the salvation principle is that which does the switch and enables the power of the Holy Spirit to come present in you as the guiding light and comforting presence of God's direct presence inside you. And that presence of the Holy Spirit is designed to operate through you in the same fullness in which it did Jesus. That's why he said, the things that I do, you shall do also. And even greater things, because I go to the Father. What did he mean by that? He meant because he was removing his physical presence, so we could no longer depend on that, that he would send the Comforter, the Spirit, to dwell directly inside of us. And it would be learning to operate even as he did. He had to operate in obedience to the Holy Spirit. And because he did and fulfilled his role perfectly, the transfer value of that, spiritually speaking, has now come upon us. So we can do the same thing. The only reason we're not is because nobody's really encouraged us or explained that we're not to keep Jesus up on the cross or in diapers in a manger and think of him a couple times a year. We're actually to put on Christ and live in that same anointed authority and power, just the same as he did. And when we do that, we're going to be taught how to be translated through faith, through time and space, because God is going to send us to many places in the world. And there may be times that we can't go the slow way through a plane or the train or a boat. It's possible that for a period of time we won't be able to travel at all with the earth changes. So we're going to have to know how to be instantly translocated from one dimension to another by God's power operating through us. This is a function of the five extenuated bodies of light that I've spoken about. I'll probably need to do another seminar on that, because it involves learning how to operate in our glory bodies, our glorified bodies. But right now, because we're right on the eve, I believe, of the great calling away or the catching away of the rapture, I think it's more important that we just focus on the fact that we need to make sure we're in covenant and to begin to operate more consciously from a covenant position, rather than thinking that we're separated from God and we have to learn all this stuff and we have to perfect ourselves. And, you know, it's all about the doing. If you look at religion, it's all about doing, 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 doing. But grace is all about receiving, 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 and walking in the realms of glory with God. And having that Spirit operate through us in miraculous ways. No, we don't understand it, and we don't have to. So God has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son of love. And every one of us is given a measure of faith. And we learn to operate through faith and not by sight, because faith is the magic component that enables the glory realms of God to become tangibly operative in our life. In other words, I often say, you step out into nothingness, and faith enables the step to rise up under your feet. And it's just like that, because the step won't rise up until you step out in faith. So God is well pleased when we actually live by faith. And we're doers of the word and not just sitting and listening to the word. There are some references to the forerunners that entered the grid and operated supernaturally. Most recent probably would be Elijah. Well, no, that's not most recent. Actually, there are people today that are already translocating. But if we go back into the Bible, the first mention of a person that was translocated to be with God was Elijah. Enoch. And Enoch was one that was caught up through Merkabah and translated by faith. and walked with God and did not experience death. Elijah, later on, the prophet Elijah, was translated into the higher realm through the operation of this highest body of light called the Zohar body, or transdimensional location through Merkaba. So they were setting in the grids for this particular Adamic root race those particular operatives so that they could be accessed by us collectively at this time. And that's the way grids work. There has to be at least one to set it as an operative. Once it's placed in the grid, then everyone can access it. And it's transferred to the whole collective when one does it. So that's the value of the individual action, because whenever any one of us does anything of a great and godly way, that transfers as a blessing throughout the whole collective. That's why your passage through time and space is never without effect. You can sit in your little lounger chair and touch to the farthest of creation and beyond. You can sit in your armchair and be in the center of the cosmos and connected to everyone and everything and all of existence through that unified field. So Sai Baba, in a letter to some devotees, which is always, you know, for everybody that is connected to God, gave a little bit of a peek into the year ahead and some advice. And because it had a lot of Sanskrit references and things that most of my listening audience isn't going to be able to really relate to, I have paraphrased it in English terminology with the guidance of Baba to share with you this evening. And here it is. This is his message on this last December, just as, you know, as we were going into the new year. Your mission has begun. Your mission is to allow the glory of God to flow through your entire expression. Your eyes, your words, your actions, your auric field, your devotion to God and goodwill are how God will flow his transforming power into this earth and into every arena of turmoil, warfare, and conflict. You are the extensions from eternity into time and the bridges from time back into eternity. It is the Lord's will to raise you all into a higher plane of consciousness, and nothing can stop that. Your mission is one of increasing cosmic love in this universe. Every time you speak or sing the names of the Lord with loving devotion, this love will flow forth and flood the world with healing, grace, and love. This is what will happen in 2011. This is a unique chance given to you all as you give forth this cosmic love, allowing it to flow through you, through your individual life, and those of your loved ones. Everyone will be benefited through this. Your earth will now become recharged. She is moving now into this time when there will be increasing changes as she adjusts to the welcoming of the golden age that has already begun. Bhumi Devi, the goddess of the earth, has started the preparations in welcoming another reign of joy. You are all as pure white angels who are here to help people in distress in these times. There will be perfect peace in the mind of man and in the world. For you, this requires increasing your sense of nearness and dearness to the Lord. The Lord is with you the instant you think of him and remember his name. When you have placed yourselves fully and completely in the Lord's care and keeping, you will always sense God's presence with you at all times. Retain this awareness. Practice this awareness that you will know that the Lord is with you at all times. The name of the Lord alone can protect you. Daily set aside time to repeat or sing the names of the Lord with loving devotion. Every home needs to set aside time for this most vital practice and to train children to allot time for prayer and worship and reading of scriptures and repetition of the names of God or the recitation of the rosary. I want to give a little story here. There was a group of 18, I believe it was, priests that lived in the very close to Ground Zero in Hiroshima at the time the bomb was dropped. And later I heard this priest speaking on television, and he said that aside from being, you know, just really ordinary priests or monks, the one thing that they were very faithful to do was they were very faithful to the recitation of the daily rosary. They were devoted to the rosary. And they felt that was why they were supernaturally protected. Not only was their monastery untouched by the blast, miraculously so, when everything else was flattened around them, they did not suffer a single effect of the radiation. And they attribute that to the devoted practice of saying the rosary daily, which is a Catholic practice. But they have this, in every world faith, you'll notice they have a rosary. In Hinduism, it's called a Japa Mala of 108 beads. And on those beads, you repeat the name of the Lord that causes your heart to sing, whatever it may be. And that is a very, very important practice. I've practiced that probably, 30 years. And it was what has given me a completely tranquil mind and the ability to live above thought, which is the value of doing that. You transcend the plane that, you know, the gerbil case monkey mind. You just transcend it when you get the vibration of the mantra of the name of God going in your consciousness. To continue on with the letter from Sai Baba. Because of the evil of the age of Kali, the conditions are not conducive to this practice of the repetition and veneration and worship of the names of God. Nevertheless, just as you allot time to eat and bathe and so forth, you must also undergo every effort, and whatever trouble it may cause you, you must allot time every day to dwell in the presence of God and to keep company with God through His holy names. Do this, and also remove all fear from your minds. Be in my presence. I bless you all. I am the indweller in every heart. Sri Satya Sai Baba. So he said that our devotion is like the breath of angels that is purifying every place that we find ourselves. We're like the breath of heaven that is bringing this sweet breeze of blessedness, of glory, and of grace that just wafts out of us wherever we go, whether we're going to grocery stores or soccer moms taking our kids to soccer practice, wherever we go, or sitting on the meetings and the boards and whatever else we do in our jobs and our daily activities. This silent benediction, this baraka, this blessing, this baruha that flows through us is a silent ministry that we are operating in 24/7. And it's more important for us to hold that sacred space if we want to be of service to the planet at this time. You'll notice that in a domino effect, every single area where there have been oppressive and human rights violations and regimes that are cruel and tyrannical and dictatorial, they're falling, and they're all going to fall because that energy can no longer stand the outpouring of the new energy that's flowing in. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So people are receiving this energy in their souls, and it's causing them to stand up in the authority and power of their own spirits and say, enough, we will no longer tolerate this oppression, these dictators. They all must go. And we can see the power of people rising up in their masses. They can topple these dictatorial, cruel, tyrannical regimes overnight. Well, maybe not overnight, but in a few days, and sometimes overnight. Depends on how many. But this is something that's not going to stop anytime soon. Every single one of those bastions of cruelty and oppression and domination and all of that are going to now fall and collapse. All the world systems, all the Babylonian, as they call it, that's a type of bondage. Not to say anything about the land of Babylon, but when you see in the scriptures references to Egypt and Babylon, Egypt represents the material power, the material mind-driven mentality, and Babylon represents the commercial dog-eat-dog, the money-driven world, money without principle, money without morality, money without humanity. You know, that whole system. So not to put down the nations, but to speak in the typology, language in the Bible, always refers to the states of consciousness that we all are subject to in some way. So this catching away and this being translated beyond our understanding from one place to another by faith, is a topic we're going to be continuing on with because it's very, very profound and deep, and it's hard to cover it in 55 minutes to any degree. But there are certain characteristics of the Bride of Christ, and the Bride of Christ is specifically those covenant sons and daughters that are the devotees of the Lord that are going to be really the way showers and the paradigm shifters for the times that we're moving into. And we will be transported supernaturally around the world to fulfill God's purposes. And while this is happening, people will be able to see us. I've told you that when I first came into the body, one of the things that they used to do with this physical body was dematerialize it in my workshops so that people could see by the raising and lowering of vibration, things appear and disappear. That's why our spacecraft appear and disappear. It's simply the raising of vibration or the lowering of vibration. You know, you raise something high enough like the blades of the fan and they disappear. You lower the vibration and the fan blades appear again. It's very, very simple. Nothing complicated, and everybody can do it. And I created dyads, you know, where people would sit across from each other in the workshops, and they would practice dematerializing. And you could tell when you had dematerialized because your partner sitting in front of you would have dematerialized. So there's nothing spooky about this. It's simply operating in dimensions that we're not, you know, that familiar with operating in. But they're going to become more and more the normal ways that we live and operate. So first and foremost, in order for us to set to set ourselves in a position to receive these things is to be in covenant. And then we will be properly taught from within the properly concealed vanishing points, the dimensional portals, the dimensional doors, the dimensional gateways that we will be able to access to move in and out of dimensionality. And they're accessed through faith, because you won't see them in front of you. You'll just be guided to go. But the translation of the word in Hebrew, whenever you see God direct you by saying go, it means to be willing to step into that vanishing point and be supernaturally transported from one point to another. So we stand in that position of readiness by faith. And then when we're told to go, it means, are you willing to vanish? Are you willing to be taught how to operate in the realms of glory? And we're meant to travel the road less trodden, which is a highway of holiness and purity and reverence of life. And it's a supernatural journey of miracles and signs and wonders that we have to be taught by God about them, because there is nothing in the world that can teach us how to operate in these dimensions. So we also need to earnestly desire the presence of God, so that God and the presence of God becomes like our magnificent obsession. And when we are completely focused upon the Lord with deepest devotion, then we can be entrusted with the deeper things of God. And then we learn how to ask in faith, because it's our right, it's our covenant right to have these things. And we need to earnestly desire these higher gifts, which God will give without fail to us when we're, in the right mind to receive them and be taught of them. So we'll be guided and relayed to discern these properly concealed vanishing points in the times ahead, which may mean you stepping out of a dimension to avoid being where the earthquake is or the tornado hits, or to learn how to stand in authority and rebuke the forces of destruction, bind the forces of destruction and release the glory of divine protection over your home, over your children, over your life. You have that power to ask to be covered with the glory of God, to be rendered protected, even though 10,000 fall on your right and 10,000 fall on your left, no destruction needs to come nigh to you. You can become impervious to disease germs. You can wear this glory cloud around you so that, you're immune to the plagues and the diseases and the pestilences and the noxious fumes of the destructions of these times. So this is some of the things that we will need to continue at another seminar, but begin to think about it. Begin to understand that you are under covenant when you come and place your life fully and completely in the hands of the Lord Jesus. You come under His covenant. And His Holy Spirit then comes to dwell within you to teach you all things that the Lord would have you know. So contemplate that. Begin to have a little bit of understanding of covenant. Do your homework, your studies. Read the scriptures. Get an idea of who and what you are as a covenant son and daughter of God. And let's go out chanting. Let's do the name Yeshua, because it's so powerful. Deep breath. Yes, you are. Yes, you been listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Commander Lady Athena, with Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. And God bless each and every one of you. We send our love and our light throughout this planet, touching with strength and the glory of God wherever there is a need for upliftment and hope and assistance. And we pray that all the worlds and all the beings of all the worlds may know the presence, the bliss, the joy, and the salvation of the Lord. God willing, I'll be with you next week. Adonai.